My next guest grew up as a regular kid in North Edmonton, playing hockey, spending time at the mosque with his family, and dreaming of a career in the NHL. Spoiler alert, he didn't make it to the NHL. But now he's a successful lawyer, and his memoir about his Canadian Muslim family will be published next week. Danny Asaf is the author of the book Say Please and Thank You and Stand in Line, and he joins me now. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Now, I understand you have a successful law career going on in Toronto, but you are not a Leafs fan, are you?
Well, you know what? I'm still an Oilers fan.
Okay.
Home is where the heart is. But, you know, I still have a little place. It's big enough for the Leafs, too. But I am a little bit upset, Mark, with the introduction. Who said my chances of making the NHL are gone?
You still haven't given up on that?
I have not given up on that dream. It lives. It lives.
You could be an NHL lawyer. How would that be?
I'll as close as they'll let me to the bench. I'll carry out the water. Whatever they got, I'll take it at this point.
Well, I'm sure you're a pretty busy guy. Where did you find time to write this book, and what was the motivation behind it?
Well, finding the time, let's just say it took a little while.
Yeah.
But the motivation was, like all of us, just the love of our country. And, you know, first and foremost, I wrote this book to remind myself of what makes this country special, and hopefully to be able to share that with others, to remind us all what makes this country special, and to try to figure out a path to make it even better for the next generation.
So your family has deep roots in Edmonton. What was the connection to the Al Rashid Mosque?
So this is this book actually is a testament to some great Alberta history that maybe even a lot of Albertans don't know. And that is the connection to that mosque, the Al Rashid Mosque, is through my great-grandfather, who came to Canada in the 20s, as part of a group of Lebanese immigrants who had started to come in the late 1800s and early 1900s and were involved in the fur trade in northern Alberta and really, you know, become full Albertans in every sense of the word. And then that community built the first mosque in Canada in Edmonton in 1938. The original spot was near the Royal Alec Hotel. Now that mosque has been moved to Fort Edmonton Park to be preserved as part of our heritage. But that was the first little mosque on the prairie. And, and you know, that's the stories they tell about building that mosque. It wasn't just Muslim people, obviously.
Yeah.
It was people of every background, Christians, Jews, all people in Alberta came together to welcome these people and to make them feel part of the fabric of Alberta. That's our real Alberta heritage. And that is a great Canadian story that I know a lot of people have appreciated. And it's just, again, to tell that story through that lens and as a reminder and reaffirmation of why this country is so great and why its best days are, God willing, ahead.
So when they went to build the mosque and put that together, like who pitched in? Like, and how did the other communities support them?
So I'll give you one little example. When you look at that mosque, it looks like it's a mosque, but it looks like also a Ukrainian Orthodox church because the general contractor was Ukrainian.
Right.
So when he was trying to figure out how to build this, you know, they kind of put together plans of what they knew and what they had built, and then melted it into a mosque. And that mosque's design itself, it really shows that beauty of all the Albertans who came together to build it. It reflects it.
Now, at the same time, one of the themes in your book is otherness. Did you ever feel othered or different growing up in Edmonton?
Well, that's another reason why I wrote the book. When I grew up in Edmonton, I never felt the other. I never felt anything other than a full Albertan, Edmontonian, proud, and never thought about it. But then, you know, 9/11 happened, and the world changed. And then all of a sudden, people started to talk about the other, and Muslims being the other. You know, for a long time, when they would say other, I looked around. I was wondering, who are they talking about?
Right.
I'm like, is there somebody else in this room? And I realized, are people talking about me and about my family and our heritage and our contribution to Canada? Well, folks, you know, the horses have fled the barn. We've been here for over a century. And now, if we can be questioned, if our Canadianness can be questioned and my Albertanness can be questioned, then that means anybody else's can in a moment, because narratives can be powerful. And if one is vulnerable, we're all vulnerable. And that's not what makes Canada special. So that's why I wanted to write that book, because it's a story about all of us. If that can happen to one of us, it can happen to anyone, anytime.
And that post 9/11 thing wasn't just an abstract thing. This was like neighbors, right? Tell me about that.
The oddest thing, so this horror, this tragedy that kills all these innocent people in New York, translates into a neighbor of my family putting up a sign with an arrow pointing to my parents' house saying, Osama bin Laden lives closer than you think. Like, now it almost sounds comic.
It does.
And funny. But at the time, I can't tell you how traumatic it was and how it divided this quiet cul-de-sac in North Edmonton over this narrative of the other, of this narrative of every Muslim is a terrorist, and this horror that occurred 3,000 miles away, divided neighbors in our hometown.
Yeah, that is sad. Did you even know that neighbor before it happened? Or
it's even more tragic. The neighbor, we knew them very well. The neighbor was a single mom. Her son spent time at our house because he would come home to an empty home and be welcomed in our home. That was the other thing, was how those friendships and neighbors can be turned into enemies because people want to create stories and narratives that all of a sudden, you know, you have to pick a side.
Yeah.
And that happens around the world. God willing, it will never happen in Canada to that extent. But that's how civil wars start. You hear in places, you know, Sarajevo had an Olympics in 1984, a Winter Olympics in 1994, just before the Calgary Olympics in 1988. And that country, Yugoslavia, is what happened to it. Neighbor slaughtered neighbor. Regular people, because somebody made them pick sides, and somebody told stories that told people those folks are the other. Well, there is no other, especially now in Canada. There's no them. There's only us. And we look ahead now. I work as a lawyer, as you mentioned, Mark. That is pretty well my fate. But I go around the world. We do business. We know how competitive the world is. And, you know, a country like ours, which has a history, sure, it's imperfect, but that's every generation. We got to make it a little bit better. You see something wrong? We don't burn down our history to build our future. We just want to make it better. So we today have a great opportunity, a country that has largely been built on welcoming the other, integrating the other, and giving the other opportunity. You think of that in the 21st century today. That's what the world is rewarding. Technology has tied us all together. Canada is poised for its greatest generation yet. But if we spend the next 25 years tearing one another apart, we are going to be the losers when we should be the winners.
Now, you've got kids and you write about them in your book. Has that changed anything in the way you view how to approach this sort of thing?
It does. It does. One of the key things in my book that I write about is my son, his name is Mohammed Asaf, carried the Canadian flag to midfield on the 100th anniversary of the Grey Cup. So I talk about this journey of my family. My great-grandfather comes in the 20s. He could have never have imagined his great-great-grandson would carry the flag representing Canadian youth on the 100th anniversary of the Grey Cup. But in the middle of that, we've gone backwards in some ways, which is that story of my family and being labeled as the other or being labeled as terrorists. And it's just always a reminder that it's constant work. And especially when you see things through the eyes of your kids, it hits home for all of us, not just me, for every parent. And it makes you very, very guarded, and you know how precious the future is. And we all have. Canada, it's a beautiful place, but it's also an idea. It's a way of life. In each one of us, in each generation, we hold it in trust for the next generation. And they are trusting us to make sure we hand off better than we got. And that means in every single way. So it sure does.
Well, Danny, well said. And congratulations on the book. And do not cheer for the Leafs when they face the Oilers in the playoffs.
Go Oilers, baby. It's looking good. It's looking good. So let's hope.
All right, Danny. Good to talk to you.
A pleasure, Mark. All the best. And all the best to everyone at home. God bless. Take care.
Thank you. That's author Danny Asaf. His new book is called Please Say Please and Thank You and Stand in Line, One Man's Story of What Makes Canada Special and How to Keep It That Way. It comes out on May the 10th.